BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, I love geeking out on high school basketball. I love seeing the kids play. Obviously, the kids that are in the crowd. It's so much part of the community and the experience of a high school. Love being around it. Love seeing it. Our next guest, around it for like 40 years. And I announced that I was having Tom Johnson on the show. Barlow High School, they're the state champions in 6A. I announced that I was having him on the show, and I got a note from one of his fellow coaches. And I'm going to just read the note. It says, I saw that you have TJ Johnson on the show. That's awesome. Barlow was our biggest rival in the Mount Hood Conference. We had intense battles every year. Tom Johnson, one of the classiest coaches I've ever met. When I was the head coach at Central Catholic, we talked every week. We had late-night phone calls talking about our games and our opponents. And the only time we didn't talk was when we had games that were leading into our head-to-head matchup. I don't think I've ever known anyone who didn't respect TJ, and I certainly don't want to meet or know anyone who doesn't like him. More than 700 wins, been coaching for 39 years. Deserves to be in the Oregon High School, you know, sports annals, and certainly the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame one day. But at the Childs Center over the weekend, Barlow beats Jesuit for the 6A championship. It's the one thing that Tom Johnson didn't have yet. He's got a state championship, and he's joining us now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Give me an idea of what that was like for you. You've been at this for 40 years. You've been around a lot of kids. You've helped a lot of kids. I think we should be thanking you, Coach, but give us an idea for you, sort of to win as you're going out the door and you know, have your team cut down the nets. What did that feel like?
Kind of surreal. We've been close before over the years, but just to actually win it, you know, when we had Freddie Jones and Jared Price, and we had some other really good teams in the early 2000s, I just never knew that it would happen. About 10 years ago, some of my former players had their sons playing in second grade, and I went and watched them play. And one of the questions I got was, are you going to be able to stick around for this group? I didn't know that I'd be able to, but I'm certainly glad I did. I've known most of these kids since their second, third grade, coming to my camps and clinics over the years. And so to see them earn that after knowing how hard they've worked over the years is really gratifying for me as a coach.
Give us an idea, because you've been around it, you get it, you understand it, that so much of high school sports is about community. And, you know, but you tell me, high school basketball, you know, what should it be about? Because I think sometimes it loses its way.
I would agree with you. I think it should be all about community. We moved into the Barlow community many, many years ago. And when I first took the job here, our athletic director, Val Garrison, told me that Barlow is a destination place. It's not a stopping point. And it has been a destination for me. My kids grew up in this community. They went to Barlow. They played with all their friends growing up from junior high all through high school. And I really think there's something very special about the Barlow community. I've always felt that. And I see that in other communities as well around our league. And I just think, you know, when I was in high school, my dad really wanted me to go to Benson. I wanted to go to Roosevelt, where all my friends went. And I that's what I wanted to do. And I look at our kids in our program right now, they had an opportunity to play the last several years with their friends. And I just think that's so important.
Tom Johnson with us, Barlow High School. They are the state champions in the 6A division. The beginning of this season, did you think championship cut down the nets? Can you afford to think that way as a coach who's been at it for 39 years?
You know, I don't think that way as a coach. I try to make sure that we are in the present, the here and now. Of course, that was in the back of our mind. But what's really important is keeping perspective and trying to get better day after day after day. And I think that's a credit to our kids. They bought into that real well. We never got ahead of ourselves. We had some trap games early in the season where, you know, we were looking forward to Central, but we had to go on the road to a really tough environment at Sandy. But we stayed focused on that day. And so that's a credit to our kids for staying in the moment.
You'd been to that title game before, and you didn't win it. And I know those guys that were probably high school kids in the 90s were paying attention to what was going on. Did you hear from them in the run-up to this one or after it?
Oh, yeah, I heard from a lot of them. Jared Price, who was our point guard for 2 years when we were undefeated in league, we took second his junior year and lost in the semifinals in double overtime his senior year. He flew out on Friday afternoon to watch the semis and the finals. Freddie Jones rushed around on two different flights to get out here for the championship game. And, yeah, it was really gratifying to see both of them, as well as so many other former players that I've had an opportunity to coach with. I know that we had two brothers, the Mumford brothers, flew out from, I think, Arizona and Colorado. And just really gratifying to see all those former players come back.
You seem to have had, you know, I read a comment from Mike Petrino, who was the former Central Catholic coach. He's now at Boise State in the women's program as an assistant. And you seem to have rapport with coaches in general. And, you know, I know that over the years in competition that sometimes, you know, things don't go how they should on the court. You find coaches who, you know, will disagree with each other. What is it about you, Tom, that everybody loves you? These guys that coach against you, they want to beat you, but they respect you at the end of it. What, you know, what kind of principles do you carry with you that sort of, you know, help in that way, I guess?
I'm not exactly sure, but I have a high level of respect for all the coaches in the state. It's not an easy job, and it's very rewarding, but it's difficult at times. But, you know, I've always been, I was taught by my mother and father to treat people right, treat people well. And that's what I try to do, I guess. I'm not afraid to share my knowledge and information with different coaches as well, because we're kind of all in this together.
Yeah, I think it's a great distinction. And on that note, I want to pivot to, you know, you had some health issues. You battled cancer. I know that, you know, you continued coaching through it. What can you share with us about your health now and sort of that journey you were on, and, you know, how much did basketball help you?
Oh, it helped me a great deal. I had tongue cancer 12 years ago in 2012, 13 years ago, I guess now. And the outpouring of support I got from the community is still very very present in my mind, and I really appreciated that. Some of my former players while I was going through that battle were alongside me as well, and so I'm thankful for that. And yes, but, you know, having an opportunity to coach our kids that year that I went through, that was important as well.
I am, you know, left thinking about your health. You good now? You're okay?
I feel great. I feel great right now. For today, I feel great.
Yeah, for today. What made you say this was going to be it? Because everybody was saying this is his last year. Wouldn't it be great if he won it?
I don't know where that came from, but this, I have not decided on that yet. I'm going to take a month. A year ago was a stressful season for us. We lost in the quarterfinals. I went through a lot of stress last year, and I wasn't sure that I was going to continue on and coach this year. I took a month away and decided that I did want to come back. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now as well. I love our younger kids. We have some great young kids. We're going to drop off talent-wise, of course, but I've got some great young kids that are wonderful to be around. And so I'm going to make that decision probably in a month or so.
I love that. A little bit of breaking news. And where do you think that came from?
But I'm not sure where that came from. And you know what, I'm going to meet individually with all my returning kids this week and communicate that with them. But I'd rather make the right decision than make the quick decision. I've always felt that way. So I'm going to take a month or so and decide.
Barlow High School coach Tom Johnson with us, 6-8 champions. The story goes, Tom, that you write a letter to everybody who tries out for your team. Is that true? And if so, where did that start?
Yes. I guess that started my first year here. My mother gave me years and years ago, she gave me a little tiny book called The Power of the Handwritten Note. And I've always taken that very seriously. You know, the digital media world that we live in, I still have had a hard time adapting to it. I'm a guy that wants to write handwritten notes. And so, yeah, I do write notes to all the kids at tryout, thanking them for their attitude and their effort during tryout, encouraging them. And if I know they're involved in another sport, I want to let them know that I support them there as well. I just think it's a way of helping to connect with young kids.
I love that. Do some of those kids write you back, or
in today's world, most of them email me back. But I ran into a kid the other day, Fred Myers, that reintroduced himself to me. He says, "You know, you cut me 35 years ago, and I still have that note that you sent me. I really appreciate that." So I do believe I still write letters and notes to people. I'm kind of old school like that.
I love it. I love that. And I love that, you know, you're taking something that your parents taught you and you are passing that down. Your kids, your own kids have been around you. You've coached them. I think one of them keeps score for your games. What is that like as a family to have your children around?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, they are both my biggest supporters and my biggest critics. That's okay. I love them dearly. I had an opportunity to coach them both, although I really didn't coach them. My assistants were the ones that dealt with them. I just thought it would make for a better time at home. In fact, my one assistant, Bill Evans, many, many years ago, kicked my oldest son out of practice. it was a great learning lesson for him. So, yeah, they still come out and support me all the time.
I am left thinking March Madness is the greatest thing ever. You know, you have been around this game and around teaching your whole life. What made you get into it as a young person when you said, you know, 40 years ago when you had a choice of what to do with your life? Why'd you want to teach? Why'd you want to coach?
You know, I grew up two blocks from the University of Portland, and I would spend my childhood up at Howard Hall watching the University of Portland practice. Coach Jack Avina took care of all the neighborhood kids that wandered into the gym, and he let us watch. And I just fell in love with the game, first of all, and his presence made a real impact on me, and I just decided I wanted to teach and coach. Love the classroom. I'm retired from teaching right now, but I taught American Lit and freshman English, and I loved it. Loved the classroom.
So, how did kids change in 40 years?
I don't know that kids have changed that much. I think the gadgets have changed them more. The cell phone era has been an interesting time, and I've done a lot of reading. I do a lot of reading. I'm reading a book called Now the Anxious Generation about the effects of digital media and cell phones and social media on kids. I would love to see us get back to more of the opportunity to get together and just talk and sit around and talk. I know that's one of the things we do in our program. We meet every day in a classroom, and we share a little lesson with them. And I think the digital media does concern me, what's going on.
What would you do? All right, you're a parent. You've got a 10-year-old, 12-year-old. You hold out as long as possible to give them phones, and you know what they're saying. You know, we've got a 10-year-old in our household, Tom, who's saying, "Hey, she's wrote me a 2-page letter on why she should have a phone." And I nodded at her, and I looked over at her mom, and her mom said, "Nope, you know, that's not happening."
I think that's wise. From reading this book, The Anxious Generation, they said that's very earliest, 14 years of age, at the very earliest, and no social media at an early age.
So kids are dealing, yeah. There you go. Kids are dealing with.
You know, the problem with it is kids are that we have no experience with this, with the digital media and social media and so forth. And so we don't know, as adults, we don't know how to monitor it ourselves because we really don't have experience with it.
Yeah, it's a good point. So, and here's the thing, too. When I was a kid, at 3 o'clock, I would go home or I'd go to practice. And whatever was happening at school, Tom, stayed there. And now with the phone, it follows these kids home. There's just no escaping it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So,
help me with this. You are kids. If kids haven't changed, how has coaching or how has high school basketball changed over the decades? Because you have had success.
Statistics around the nation with high school basketball is technical fouls, ejections are way up. So, you know, we post-COVID, and I will admit to this myself, post-COVID, I became a little bit soft as a coach. And I gradually have gotten a little tougher in the last couple of years. And I think kids need that. I think, you know, we need to hold kids accountable. We all need accountability, whether you're a 59-year-old man or a 16-year-old kid. And I think we've gotten away from discipline a little bit in our society.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, I think kids do need structure. They need discipline. Over the years, you've coached against a lot of great high school players. I was just thinking about the guys that you either coached or played against, and you know, some of the legendary players in our area. Terrell Brandon, Damon Stoudemire. Who popped in your mind when I said you've coached against great players?
Well, the first one was Terrell Brandon. We only played against him one time, and it was a summer league game, and we held him to 56 points. So he's kind of the first one that pops into my mind. Obviously, Kevin Love. We played Kevin Love in the playoffs when he was a freshman at Barlow, and he had 20 and 15 as a freshman. We never played against him again over the time he was in high school, but those two in particular. I still think that when I was in high school, Richard Washington was absolutely dominant for Benson. So those are the kind of guys. But I'm partial to Fred Jones, I'll say that. Freddie was just a joy to coach, first of all. And he did things on the basketball court that were just amazing.
I got a fellow coach of yours who's listening to the interview said I should ask you if you coached Sam Barlow back in the day. Is it true that you coached Sam Barlow? But I think, you've seen it all. Is the play getting better? Do you see better teams, better players, or was it always good?
Oh, I think there are more better players than there used to be on teams. It used to be one or two good players. Rarely would you see three really good players. I mean, for example, we had Jalen Atkins, Mason Beerbauer, and Braden Barrett this year. Those are the three best players I've ever had on one team. And we had, then we have Blake Hills, who's maybe the top four best players I've ever coached on one team. And, you know, you look around and there's so many kids that are able to shoot, handle the ball, and do things that 25 years ago there weren't that many.
And do you think that's due to kids are playing, getting more exposure, going to camps, or are they learning off YouTube? What's going on with that development?
I think playing in the off season has helped. Although I'm not a proponent of one sport athletes, I've always felt that kids should play multiple sports. There's the benefits of playing multiple sports are far outweigh playing just one sport. So I just feel like I just wish more kids played multiple sports because I think there's a strong carryover. Kids that are involved in multiple sports develop deeper and more meaningful relationships. They handle adversity better, and they have better grades and attendance. So I wish more kids played multiple sports.
Tell me about that.
I think the amount of basketball kids play helps them develop skills.
Let me ask you about that, because on the multi-sport thing, I interview professional athletes and coaches, college coaches, pro coaches on this show to a person, Tom, in 20 years, I've never had a coach or a player say, I believe in specialization. But yet when you get out and you talk to parents, there is an awful lot of pressure out there from basketball, soccer, lacrosse, baseball. There's a lot of pressure to make it a year-round thing. My oldest daughter, volleyball player, it becomes very easy to get sucked into that vortex and, hey, there's a camp going on. Hey, you got to be there in the spring. Hey, you need to be there in the winter. How do you combat that as a parent?
As a parent, it's pretty hard. You know, it is hard at the 6A level to play multiple sports. I get that. There's a book called Range by David Epstein that talks about everybody that has really been very, very successful, whether it's in the field of medicine, mathematics, art, they all did multiple disciplines in that area. For example, Tiger Woods was only a golfer. He's the anomaly. There aren't many one sport guys that start at 4 years of age that makes it to the level he has. And so, but as a parent, that's tough to do. I would agree, because there are demands made by coaches. I know when I coach Ryan Krauser in basketball, I never put any demands on him to do anything in the off season. He wouldn't do it anyway. He's going to go to the Youth Olympics in Italy. And if I were to say, hey, Ryan, you can't go to Italy this summer. I need you to play summer basketball. Well, I would have probably lost him, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Give me an idea. So, when you get a kid like Krauser in there, like, how good could that guy have been in football, or, you know, maybe as a basketball guy, if you got a chance to coach him at the highest level, or maybe get a little more from him?
Oh, I think he could have been a D1 football player without a doubt. And I know he could have been a D1 basketball player. He was probably the best rebounder, maybe the best rebounder ever coached. I think Brad Barron, actually the kid I had this year, might be the best rebounder, or potentially best rebounder I've ever coached. But Ryan could, you know, he was an amazing rebounder for us. He could have played Division I basketball or Division I football. No doubt.
My sidekick here, Stephen Vaughn, played for Putnam in 2005, and they got you that year, and he's there. Stephen, you got a question for the coach that was on the other side of the equation. What was it like to play as a player against a Tom Johnson coached team?
Always well coached team, yeah. And that team we went up against, that was like Jake Glisson and that crew. We went up against you guys.
Oh, you guys did beat us.
That
was the only loss till the playoffs.
Yeah, you guys were like second or third in the state, and you came to Putnam, and we actually got the win in that one. That was by far the biggest win that we had. We didn't even make the playoffs. But yeah, that team was really well coached, obviously. And Barlow's always a good team.
Well, you guys... my buddy Dan Barnsley was your coach, I remember. And, that was a rude awakening for us when we went over to your place that day.
Well, Tom Johnson, I want to thank you on behalf of probably all your students who wish they could reach out and write you a note and tell you how appreciative they are. I think back to the teachers I had in high school and the influence they had on me. Certainly my wife, being a Park Rose kid, East County kid, understand the influence of the teachers and the counselors and the administrators on her and her life. And, you know, you've made an impact here, not an impression. You've made an impact with a whole bunch of kids. State championship is great. You get to cut down nets. But I think about, you know, the 38 seasons before that and all the good things you've done and all the great success stories that you've been a part of. And I just think, you know, from the community to you, I would just like to thank you. I know I texted you that, but I wanted to say that to you.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you. You are well-respected and much loved by people yourself. So thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Let me know what you're going to do. I think it sounds to me like you're coming back. You're not walking away. What are you going to do? You like practicing too much.
You know, practice is fun. Practice is a blast. It's the games that kind of get me a little bit wound up.
Well, here's what you do. You hand it over. Let someone else coach the games. You coach the practices.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Tom Johnson, thank you. Congrats.
Thank you. Okay,
all right. There he goes. 6A champions. Barlow High School. They beat Jesuit. They're the best in the state. Congrats to them. And neat to talk to a guy who's had that kind of impact. I sincerely mean that. Like, I think about what I do for a job, and it feels kind of silly to me sometimes. Like, you know, what do I do if I had to explain it to somebody who, you know, a Martian showed up in front of me, landed in a spacecraft in the cul-de-sac and said to me, what do you do for a job? Explain it to me. I would say that I go and I watch sporting events and I write about it, and then I come on radio and I talk about it. And we take calls from listeners and we interview sports people on the show. And I say what I think about the sports thing. It sounds ridiculous and it has no meaningful value really in as it pertains to other people, other than maybe I help you or create a diversion for you or make you think or feel or something. But this is a guy, Tom Johnson, who for four decades has been in classrooms. And he's not the only one. There's so many teachers out there that are going to be listening to this show or listen to the podcast later who have had impacts on, you know, 20 to 30 students at a time, one period at a time, for decades and decades and decades. Says he may not be done. A lot of the news stories out there have it wrong. They say, oh, his final year, he finally won. You know, he won the state championship like it's a Disney movie. This may not be done. There may be a sequel coming for Tom Johnson. Congrats to him, congrats to Barlow, and thank you, too, to all the teachers and coaches who may listen to this, who also have an impact, you know, on all the students and the athletes, and you're making a difference, and Tom Johnson made a difference. Leave it here. Punch It Audio coming up.